improve your life.
Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers is always on the cutting edge, and you've done it again.
We brought you a new choice in diamonds. We've got altar-created diamonds exclusively at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and what that does for you is give you the opportunity to save 25 to 30% and get a bigger and brighter diamond.
And how is that possible?
Altar-created diamonds are grown above ground, making them environmentally friendly and 100% conflict-free.
Howie, can you tell the difference?
What difference? They're both diamonds. See for yourself only at Robert Irwin Jewelers with free financing.
Have an unforgettable experience with today's Perks deal. Half off jumping for two people at Jumping World. Bring your crew and an attitude ready to jump the world. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Gary Parrish, Brad Carson is in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruption. And I hope you're ready for a busy weekend downtown Memphis inside FedEx Forum. Three games gonna take place in the next 30 hours. Two of them are NBA games. One's a college game. We're going to talk about all of them here momentarily. First, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 4:25, Dan Walk is going to join me. National columnist, USA Today. Former Memphis beat writer, The Commercial Appeal. He's the person who replaced me when I left to go to CBS Sports. Then he left to go to The Daily, I believe.
That was it. Yeah, New York.
Replaced by Jason Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jason Smith's over here. Long list of Tiger basketball beat writers, but Dan was the beat writer during that big number one versus number two game, Memphis, Tennessee, 2008. We'll talk to him about that, about Memphis, Tennessee in general. Dan Walker going to join me about 4:25. Finish that segment. I'll do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Joakim Noah was on with my buddy Chris Vernon yesterday in studio and said he was, quote, too lit to play in New York City. This has gotten a lot of attention. It was on
ESPN picked it up, sure.
It was on High Noon earlier today with Bomani Jones and Pablo Torre on the homepage of ESPN.com.
Yeah, it was right there.
So it's getting blown into a big, big story. I thought it was actually a pretty honest and candid quote. He didn't blame New York City or the Knicks. Actually blamed himself, took responsibility for it. We'll talk about that right around 4:44. CDR, or Supreme Bay.
Wave God.
I'll forever know him as Chris Douglas Roberts, CDR. Was on with Jason and John earlier today. Said that the University of Memphis has offered to retire his jersey, which I think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He said he's been hesitant to accept that offer so far because he thinks that his teammates ought to have their jerseys retired, too. That's not really how retire jersey works.
No.
We'll talk about that a little later on this hour. Jabari Parker signed a $40 million contract with the Bulls back in July. Now he's not even part of the rotation, so that's an interesting development. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock in a while. Thursday night football game last night. Chiefs were up 14-0 early, up 28-14 with 8:16 left. Somehow lose the game, even though their win probability late was literally 99.9%. Crazy collapse. Fun finish if you're a Chargers fan, at least. I'll talk about that during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cargill, just like always. Then we'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with a big 2 days in downtown Memphis. Inside of FedEx Forum, because like I said, we got three basketball games coming up in about the next 30 hours, right? Because 24 hours from now puts you at four. Three on top of that puts you at seven. Give me three more hours to finish up an NBA game. That puts us at at 30 hours. So we got three games coming up in about the next 30 hours. It starts tonight inside FedEx Forum. The Miami Heat are visiting your Memphis Grizzlies. I got two lower-level tickets to that game I will give away before we get to four notable stories at 4:44. So at some point in the next two segments, stick with me. Maybe you can get two free tickets to tonight's game. Lower-level tickets,
good tickets
to the Grizzlies and Heat. It is uncertain at this point. At least that's the last update I saw, whether Dwayne Wade will play. He's just tired.
Yeah, I heard you, buddy. Join the club, dog.
A buddy, Dennis, just asked me a minute ago. I went in to record some stuff for him. He was like, how are you? I was like, you know, I feel a lot like Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. I had to get up early this morning and do a CBS Sports HQ hit.
Yeah.
They were like, can you do CBS Sports HQ hit tomorrow morning? They asked me this yesterday.
Sure.
I said, what time? They said 8:20 Eastern. I said, you know, that's 7:20 Central. Yeah. Like, I'm in the Central. Like, you know, Norlander's on the East Coast. Uh-huh. It may be an hour later for him. Nah, I said, of course I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so I went and did it. And, you know, it's fine. I get up early anyway. Mm-hmm. But I got up early and I go, you know, you put a tie on. Yeah, sure. I'm basically in basketball shorts and a shirt and
basketball,
a coat and tie, right?
Okay.
And they're just shooting you from the chest up.
Yeah.
And so I did the HQ hit.
That's what she said.
And that wasn't bad. Mm. And I do the HQ hit, and then, you know, they get turned into videos, and they're just all over the internet everywhere. And I go look at them, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, my eyes are bloodshot. I look like somebody.
Hungover?
I look hungover.
Whoa.
I look like I had been drinking and watching our King and Savior LeBron James last night.
You were.
That's exactly what I was doing, and that's exactly what I looked like. So I had to send him an email. I'm like, yo, you guys gotta, don't be shy.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know.
Once you want to take the work.
Like, please tell me.
Yeah.
Like, go get some Visine, Parrish. You look like you've been up all night. And I wasn't up all night. I went to bed relatively early, but I looked like I was up all night. So I'm tired just like Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade's tired.
That's too bad.
So he might not play. And it would be too bad. I mean, I guess on one hand, if you just want the Grizzlies to have the best opportunity to win, the Heat not having Dwayne Wade, you know, increases that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a unique opportunity. I don't know how unique it is, really, but this is true. Back-to-back nights in downtown Memphis, you can see future Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Tonight, it would be Dwayne Wade. No doubt, Hall of Famer.
Maybe three.
And tomorrow night, it would be definitely three. It's Chris Paul, James Harden tomorrow night, Dwayne Wade tonight. So you're exactly right. You will have an opportunity in the next two nights to see Hall of Famers. And, I think you'd prefer them play than not, particularly when Dwayne Wade has already announced that this is his final year in the NBA because he plays for an Eastern Conference team. This is the last time he will ever play in Memphis. And so I think most people would like to see him on the court one last time. We'll get word on that, I imagine, just before a tip-off. Either way, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. And then tomorrow morning, bright and early, we'll be back at FedEx Forum, 11 a.m. Local tip. That's going to be Tennessee and Memphis. The Vols come in ranked third in the country, coming off a victory over the previous number one, Gonzaga. I don't know that this is a big deal, but it is, I think, worth pointing out. Tennessee was supposed to already be here. They were supposed to fly in early this afternoon.
Oh.
They're not here yet, and they had aircraft issues. Now they are on.
That's too bad.
Now they're on their way now. They're expected to be settled in here in Memphis a little after 5 o'clock, but you know, when you have aircraft issues, speaking of someone who flies all the time, when you have aircraft issues, that's not something you usually know about before you leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a thing. You get to the airport, and then they go, we have aircraft issues, and now you're just like hanging out at the airport. So that Tennessee basketball team has been hanging out in an airport today. Not the most exhausting thing. I'm sure they just like had Beats on and played on their iPhones.
Sure.
But they are going to get here later than they anticipated, and again, might not matter at all, but it is a development. It's something they've been dealing with today. Brad, you, Cowboy Carson, asked me when I came in, he said, hey, any other national media people going to be here for the game? And my official answer is, I'm not sure, but I would be surprised. And that's because, though this is the biggest game in University of Memphis, for the University of Memphis basketball program in a long time, at least since the 2014 season, and it's the first official sellout since John Calipari's last season at Memphis, where every ticket for every seat is sold. It's not that big of a game nationally. It's just not.
Okay.
There are bigger games nationally tomorrow. In fact, there's a bigger game on at the exact same time tomorrow, and that would be Villanova at Kansas.
That's why we're on ESPN2, I take it.
You get the number one ranked Kansas Jayhawks hosting inside Allen Fieldhouse, the reigning national champions. Now, Villanova's not good this year, or at least they haven't been good so far, but it's still, you know, the reigning national champions against the number one team in the country. So Villanova, Kansas is tomorrow. There will be national media there, I'm sure. Gonzaga at North Carolina is tomorrow. There will be national media there. And so, though this is a massive game for this market and for Memphis fans, just for, and I think Jeff put it well in his column over at DailyMemphian.com, just to be able to walk in the building and see it look the way it's supposed to look.
Yeah.
You know, that was my big takeaway from Memphis Madness. Not that Justin Timberlake wasn't there or Drake wasn't there or, oh boy, that dunk contest was something. It was just, honest to God, nothing more than walking in the building.
Yep.
Walking in the building and immediately seeing all these seats filled and people fired up. That's what Memphis basketball is supposed to look like. It's what FedEx Forum is supposed to look like when things are going well. Obviously, over the past 2 years, and even before that, but especially the past 2 years, things did not go well. The building never looked, the way it was supposed to look. Tomorrow, it's going to look the way it's supposed to look. I'm looking forward to that. And then tomorrow night, you will get to watch the Grizzlies play for a second time. The Houston Rockets in town. And though the Rockets have not been good this season, they still, as you pointed out, have two first ballot Hall of Famers, one of whom is very much still in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reigning MVP and somebody who got a 50-point triple-double last night against the Lakers.
On people and flexing and doing all sorts of stuff.
He was just terrific. And so now the Rockets have won two straight games against likely playoff teams.
Yeah.
They've beaten the Blazers before the Grizzlies beat the Blazers, and then they beat the Lakers last night. And they're 2-0 with Eric Gordon in the starting lineup. They made that change to try to spark something, and I don't know if that kind of stuff actually works, but they are 2-0 since inserting Eric Gordon into the starting lineup, so that's obviously better than they've been playing much of this season. So I was listening to Jeff and Jeffrey talk earlier today, and I think Jeff asked Jeffrey, so what do you think? In these three games that'll be played downtown Memphis in the next 30 hours, what will the Memphis team's record be? Like the teams with Memphis on the jersey, there's three games. How many of them will they win? And I think Jeffrey got the answer right. I think it's likely one. I think one's the most likely scenario. Because though the Grizzlies are a favorite tonight over the Miami Heat. But I don't think they'll be a favorite over the Houston Rockets, even though they are, they've got a better record than the Rockets and are at home.
Yeah, the back-to-back thing. Factors.
Well, there's also a lot of computer stuff that still prefers the Rockets over over the Grizzlies. You know, the Rockets, if you go to the 538 blog, the NBA 530, the 538 NBA blog, the Rockets are still projected. Even though they have a terrible record right now, they're still projected to win way more games than the Grizzlies. Like right now at the 538 blog, the Rockets are projected to win 49 games. The Grizzlies are only projected to win 42. So the Rockets don't have a good record right now, but most of the computer stuff out there still thinks that they'll get it together at some point and they will finish with something close to 50 wins. That's not where they were supposed to be in the preseason, but still they are projected to be a top four seed in the Western Conference, where the Grizzlies, according to the 538 blog, are projected to miss the Western Conference playoffs, but not by nearly as much as they were in the preseason. I've said this before, but it's interesting to follow every day just to see how it updates and see what it spits out, every single morning. When the season started, the Grizzlies were projected by the 538 blog to finish 32-50, and right now that number is up to 42-40. So they've increased their projected win total by 10 wins already, and that 42-40 will not get you to the Western Conference playoffs, according to this projection, but 43-39 will. And so right now, the 538 blog is saying you got to get to 43 wins. That's what we always talk about. How many wins is it going to take to make the playoffs in the West? Obviously, it's impossible to know for sure, but the most current projection is 43. 43, okay. 43 will get you there, and the Grizzlies are projected to finish with 42. But if they've already increased their projected win total by 10 games since the start of the season, and we're really only about a third of the way through the season, it's not unreasonable to think that maybe they can increase it, you know, to 43, 44, 45, 46. And at that point, you are, I don't want to say safely, nothing safe about it, but at that point, you are projected to make the Western Conference playoffs. Either way, back to the Rockets-Grizzlies thing. I do think the Grizzlies might be an underdog in that game. And so if you just look at a big picture, Tigers, significant underdog.
Yeah.
Grizzlies, favored over the Heat, but likely underdog against the Rockets. 1-2 is the most likely record of the Memphis teams over the next 30 hours. And then I think Jeff asked Jeffrey, if you could get 2-1 right now, would you take it? And I think the answer to that is 100%, absolutely. You would take 2-1 in those next three games played inside FedEx Forum, because what that would mean is either one of two things. It would mean that the Grizzlies won both their games,
mm-hmm.
which is terrific given the upcoming schedule and the difficulty of it. Or it would mean the Grizzlies split, which is fine.
And you got an upset there in that in the college game, yeah.
And you got a massive win for the University of Memphis, the biggest win of Penny Hardaway's
for sure.
Very young still coaching career.
That's the one we want the most.
I don't think there's any doubt. And it's not even like you choosing Tigers over Grizzlies. It's just that you know, there are 82 games in an NBA season, and every one of them like really does mean the same thing.
Yep.
I know that you might celebrate wins over the Warriors or the Lakers or the Celtics more than you celebrate wins over the Suns or the Bulls or the Pelicans, but they do really do. They count the same in the standings. Winning, beating one team doesn't mean anything for your resume than beating another team. And that's because your resume isn't even really a resume. It's just like a record.
Yeah.
See, that's what college basketball is drastically different. All wins are not the same.
Right.
All losses are not the same. They don't all count the same. I mean, I guess they do in league play if you're trying to win a league championship, but you have a selection committee on Selection Sunday that evaluates your resume. And what they say is this win really means something. This win doesn't. These 8 wins don't. These 15 wins don't. And this is the loss that's not going to hurt them, but this loss here, this is devastating.
Yeah.
Things are different. And for Memphis, you're not going to have another opportunity this season, I don't think, unless Houston just like keeps climbing the polls because they're undefeated in February, which, by the way, is possible.
Wow.
Houston's 9-0 right now. I looked this up, I don't know, yesterday, mm-hmm. a couple days ago. They're 9-0 right now. Got some decent wins. They beat the Oklahoma State team that Memphis didn't beat, beat the LSU team that Memphis didn't beat, beat BYU. They are 9-0 right now and projected to be favorites in their next 13 games. So they could start 22-0. I don't know that it's likely, but because they won't be expected to win all of those games in totality,
right?
But they will be expected to win every individual game as they play it. So they're unlikely to win 13 more in a row, but they will be favored in all 13 of the games. It's just like nobody. You can be a like Steph Curry is more likely than not. If you just think of it in these terms, because sometimes this gets confusing, even for me as I'm speaking out loud. Just because you're favored in every game going forward, 13 in a row, it doesn't mean that you're actually supposed to win every game going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, Steph Curry is a favorite to make a free throw every time he steps to the free throw line.
Yeah.
You would never say, I think he's going to miss this one. Because he's always supposed to make the free throw.
Yeah.
But he doesn't make all the free throws.
Right.
And he's not expected to make all the free throws. If you told me Steph Curry's going to shoot 100 free throws, he will be considered a favorite to make every one.
There's that one.
As he puts the ball in his hand. But over 100 free throw span, he's not expected to make 100 in a row.
Got it.
Same thing with Houston. They're not expected to win 13 in a row, but they will be favored in all 13 games.
Mm.
So perhaps if Houston keeps winning and ends up in the top five, then Memphis ends up playing another top five team. But what you have tomorrow is an opportunity to beat a top five team on your home floor in front of a sellout crowd on national television. And what that would do is not give Memphis a resume that looks at large worthy yet. They would still just be 6-4 with no bad losses, or at least no losses to bad teams, but still losses to teams that probably aren't going to be in the NCAA tournament. So it won't give them an at-large resume. You won't wake up on Sunday and have Jerry Palm and Joe Lunardi projecting them to make the NCAA tournament. But it'll be a big message that, you know, yeah, Memphis basketball disappeared for a few years for all intents and purposes. Season ticket sales went down. Attendance went down. The roster went in the garbage. Everything was bad. But look, you already know what's coming. That's James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and perhaps Trendon Wamford, who earlier today announced that his final four schools are Alabama, Indiana, LSU, and Memphis. So you know what's coming. But this team might not be capable of achieving what next season's team will be capable of achieving, but it was capable of that. It was capable of beating a top five team in front of a sold-out crowd on national television with its first year, really just second month, coach. That would be a bigger deal than the Grizzlies beating the Heat tonight or the Grizzlies beating the Rockets tomorrow night. It is also the most unlikely of all three situations. But as I've said over and over again this week, double-digit underdogs in college basketball win games all the time. It's not really that uncommon. I'm not projecting it or predicting it, but it's not unimaginable. It's just a 40-minute game. You have home court advantage. It's not unimaginable. I'll talk to Dan Wolken about it next.
Dashing down the street with candles all aflame, by car, by horse, by feet, hooray for holiday games. Very small and bright, a scratchable delight. What fun it is to play and give holiday games tonight. Holiday games, holiday games, holiday instant games. Oh, what fun they are to play throughout the holidays.
Give the gift of holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The big guy's not going to like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery holiday instant games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast. And we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. Which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
This is Gary Parrish from the Gary Parrish Show, and at this point, I've been telling you about James Davis for years. You already know it's one of the best clothing stores in the entire country, and now you need to know it's the place to go for all your holiday shopping. Let me tell you the perfect gift. It's a custom shirt gift card from James Davis. Starts at $98. You buy it, then give it. Then the recipient can come in at his convenience and get a custom-made shirt. It's simple for you and awesome for him. Also right now, Croc belts that are normally $295 are just $195. 100% cashmere quarter-zip sweaters, regularly $295, just $195. Got cotton cashmere blend sweaters for only $98. Got a fabulous selection of Peter Millar, Barber, and cool men's vests and jackets available in the store. And Tumi Luggage's Alpha Series is currently 20% off. So whether you're shopping for yourself or somebody else, you need to get to James Davis to see the amazing store with amazing deals. How great is it? Penny Hardaway is now the best-dressed coach in all of college basketball. That's because of Rob Joyner and my friends at James Davis. Holiday hours begin November 25th. That's when they'll be open on Sundays for your convenience. James Davis, Laurel Wood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Do you need gifts for friends and family located all over this country? You can ship them prime steaks from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop overnight. And if you need to show a client or a colleague how much you appreciate them, give them a gift certificate that can be used for dinner at Folks Folly, Memphis's original prime steakhouse, or give them any of the delicious Folks Folly menu items that you can get fresh from Humphrey's. Are you noticing a theme here? Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop can set you up with everything you need to make the holidays amazing and, most importantly, amazingly easy. They've got fresh prime steak in all of the most flavorful cuts, rack of lamb, ribeye roast, a lobster tail, and all your favorite side dishes like garlic mashed potatoes and spinach casserole. Dessert is covered with Humphrey's traditional southern pecan pie and Folks Folly's famous brownies. And then they have steak knives and aprons to really make a special gift. So be an original and treat yourself and your loved ones to a holiday you'll all truly enjoy. Stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall, right next to Folks Folly, or order online at humphreysmemphis.com.
Want to bet? Las Vegas is miles away. The all-new sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, because all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you
made. Joakim Noah said he was too lit to play in New York City. People in New York City didn't like that quote so much. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me at 5 o'clock. I got two lower-level tickets to tonight's Grizzlies Heat game. I'm going to give them away in this segment, so stick with me. But right now, he's a national columnist, USA Today, former Memphis beat writer, commercial appeal. It's Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So as you can imagine, all the talk this week has been about Tennessee and Memphis. It's an official sellout. The first one since, I believe, you were the beat writer back in 2009, John Calipari's final year at the University of Memphis. When people talk about Memphis, Tennessee tomorrow, they keep talking about Memphis, Tennessee from 2008. You were the beat writer then. What do you remember about that day, about that game, about anything from that weekend?
So here's a funny story I just thought about the other day. At some point before that game, a few weeks maybe a month, I don't remember exactly when, I lucked into a pair of tickets for that game from just from the school. Like, just I didn't pull any strings, didn't ask anybody, just like through whatever way normal people buy tickets, I bought two tickets for two friends of mine to go to that game. The week of that game, somehow, R.C. Johnson knew I had those tickets, and I swear to God, came up to me at a practice and asked if he could have them back.
So what do you say when the athletic director says to ask you that?
I said, no. I bought those tickets just like everybody else. I'm not giving them back. But, like, that's how badly they needed the tickets for that game.
No, it's wild. I didn't remember everybody who was there, but it's like Priscilla Presley, it's Peyton Manning. Like, it was a
Penny.
You know, it didn't look like a Lakers game, but, you know, relatively speaking, there were some big people in the crowd.
Yeah, like, it just was an impossible ticket, and the tickets I bought, like, they were not good tickets. They were just like upper deck tickets, but it was just such a huge event, and like everyone wanted to go to that game that they needed every possible ticket they could get to accommodate whoever wanted to go. So, no, and it was, I remember, just, it wasn't a very good game. It was just too emotional. The players were too nervous. It was not very well played. I remember at the end of the game, I mean, you're talking about a team with all these great players, and they needed one possession to either win or tie. I can't remember. It might have been to tie, and Antonio Anderson gets the last shot, and he didn't even come close to making it. And, you know, then after the game, it was very sullen. I remember after the game, Chris Douglas Roberts in his locker wouldn't talk to the media, and just the whole, it felt like they had lost the national championship, when in fact, I think losing that game probably set them on a course to coming close to winning a national championship, because they just cruised through the season. And it was a good time for them to play a good team and to lose. There's nothing like that. I don't think that will ever happen again.
To your point about it not being a well-played game, both teams shot below 40% from the field. And Tennessee shot 31.6% from three-point range. The Tigers, 29.6% from three-point range. So that is my memory. Like, obviously, in a week like this week, people are constantly going, so what? You were at the Memphis-Tennessee game in 08, right? And I'm like, of course. They say, what do you remember about it? And I say, I just remember it not being a good game. Like, I remember it being a close game, but it was not a good game. Neither team shot the ball well. You know, Derek ended up with 23 points, so he was pretty good on a big stage, and that was sort of, I think, representative of what he was going to become in that NCAA tournament. But that is my big tape, my big memory from the game. Besides it just being the spectacle, neither team played well.
No, it was I think it was just one of those things where the buildup was so big, and, I mean, you throw in the game day, you throw in the fact that Cal and Bruce Pearl hated each other, just the players, you know, they felt that. I just think the stage was a little bit too big for both of them. And obviously they were good teams. And sometimes, you know, when you have a game like that, people's strengths cancel each other out. But I just don't think either one was really in a good mental and emotional space to play their best basketball. And Tennessee, that probably played to the benefit of Tennessee that day. Because if it was a well-played game, Memphis just had better players and more skill and would have won a more cleanly played game. But it was the perfect kind of game for Tennessee, and they won. And it was kind of one of those things. Memphis lost the battle there, but probably won the war, because that was the absolute peak of Tennessee's season. They went out, I think, like 3 days later and lost to Vanderbilt when they had gotten to number one. And I believe they lost maybe in the second round of the tournament, or did maybe they got to the Sweet 16. I can't remember. But Memphis obviously went on to win the national, or come close to winning the national championship, play in the national championship game. And by the end of the season, they had really, I thought, improved over that last month.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. He's on Twitter at Dan Wolkin. You mentioned John Calipari. Did you see his new thing today? What he told this Kentucky team to do?
No.
Okay, this is perfect, Kyle. He said this comes from Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. He said John Calipari explained to the media today that he told his team to act like they won the Seton Hall game, because he does believe they got better, and he was actually encouraged. And if one shot goes in a different way, then they actually do win the game, and then the media is not asking him if he needs to start recruiting more four-year players. So let's just pretend that we won the game and move on with it.
Well, then, yeah, I mean, maybe he should pretend he's won, like, five national championships.
It's so
right?
good.
Because, I mean, he's come close enough where he could, you know, one or two shots here or there, he could pretend he's got five national championships.
I love he's always telling players what to, like, remember the thing when he would tell players, they wouldn't practice shooting free throws anymore. He would just tell players to go home and lay down and envision themselves making free throws.
Well, his big thing was, and he said it before that Tennessee-Memphis game, was, remember that his big comment always was, it's only a big game if we win.
Yeah. Two things he would always say. It's only a big game if we win. If we lose, whatever. But if we win, big game. And then the other one was always when he would consistently be asked about free throws. Because it was a problem all year, including in the Tennessee game and then famously in the national championship game. He would always say, we'll make them when they matter. We'll make them when they matter. And they'd like. They just quite literally did not make them when they mattered the most. Talking to Dan Walken here, 92.9 FM ESPN. They did actually lose the Seton Hall game, and now they're 0-2. Kentucky is away from Rupp Arena, 0-2 against the two best teams that they've played. Three of the five-star freshmen that were expected to have impacts aren't really. Only Keldon Johnson is, and they had three non-freshmen who had already averaged more than 9 points per game at the Division I level. But one of them was quite a green, and he announced this week that he's transferring. Do they have any issues there at Kentucky?
Well, I think the model is maybe a little bit broken for Calipari, because when you have every year three of the top five freshmen or three of the top seven freshmen, then you can absolutely have a team full of freshmen and still compete for national championships. But when you don't have any of the top five freshmen, and instead maybe you've got three of the top 20 or three of the top players who rank between 10 and 20, the drop-off between those two things is significant enough that you're not going to be nearly as good. And so, you know, when you have guys come in who aren't one-and-done type players or aren't really one-and-done type players, they're not going to be good enough until their second and third year So I think he's just in this position where, you know, he needs to get an older team. The problem is the way he's built the program and built the narrative around his recruiting pitch is when guys go there and they don't go one and done, you know, they start to think that something's wrong. So I just think he's in a little bit of a tough space where the old pitch that he was making to all these guys, is not working because he's not getting those players. Duke is. And then B, it's not really an applicable narrative for the guys he is getting. So I think there is a little bit of a problem there. Now, they're still going to probably be, you know, a top 25-ish type team. But, they're not as good as they were as a program, you know, 4 years ago, and that's an issue.
Well, your point about all five-star players not being equal is, I think, important to note because we, and I include myself in this, we get into this this habit of saying, yeah, they got 3 5-star, you know, commitments. Well, you know, in the class of 2018, according to 24/7 Sports, there were 29 five-star players. And the guy who's rated 25th ain't nothing close to the guy who's rated third. And yet they are under the same five-star umbrella. And you're exactly right. John is not getting the R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson five-star. Or at least he didn't in 2018, and he's not going to in 2019. So just because you're getting five-star guys, you know, the ones that are special, impactful from the jump, they're usually five-star guys who are projected top five picks. And really, he doesn't have one of those guys right now.
Yeah, and those are the types of players you need if you're going to rely heavily on freshmen, because the talent gap is just that big. So, yeah, I mean, it's an issue for Kentucky. And, you know, the one thing that's kind of interesting about where they are, and I noticed this last year, and I'm not as close to everything that goes on in college basketball as you are, but it seemed like Kentucky fans last year for the first time were kind of getting tired of the way the team is constructed, getting tired of, you know, guys coming in 1 year and gone. Getting tired of, you know, kind of the early season narrative and a lot of the stuff John says when he's got a young team and they're trying to figure it out. It just started to get a little bit stale, a little bit repetitive. There were empty seats at Rupp Arena last year. You know, I don't know how long John plans on coaching or doing this or, you know, staying at Kentucky, but I do think it's closer to the end than the beginning. And I think, you know, that decline, I mean, it's not going to be a fall off a cliff decline, but if you go from what did they make, 5 Final Fours in 7 years or something like that?
I think it was, I think it's 4 and, you made 4 and 7. He's still sitting on 4 maybe. But if you go back to Memphis, he made 5 Final Fours like he was basically making it every other year.
Right. So you start going, you know, from the okay, we're either going to be in the Elite Eight or the Final Four level to we're going to get to the Sweet 16 and we need to get lucky to get to the Final Four. That's not where they want to be, and that's not – I just think that'll end in a lot of frustration for both Cal and for Kentucky fans.
Wrapping up here with Dan Walken from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, and it's a different sport entirely, but still an interesting development. Nick Saban reportedly considering adding DJ Durkin, the fired Maryland coach, to his staff. I know Nick has made a habit of this in recent years, taking – whether it's Steve Sarkisian or trying to take Hugh Freeze or some other coach that needs a rehabilitation. But it seems like there's a little bit of a difference between most of those guys or all of those guys Nick's taken and a guy who oversaw a program that conducted itself in a way that led to the death of a player. This seems a little more serious, doesn't it?
Look, there's a lot of gray area in what happened at Maryland and what DJ Durkin did or didn't do and how complicit the quote-unquote culture was in what happened with Jordan McNair. And we can hash all that out, and there's a report out there that paints a picture that doesn't come to any conclusions, and I get it. And there may be a time one day in the future where DJ Durkin does his redemption tour and is able to tell his side of the story, and at least we can get some sort of answer about what kind of program he was running. But the time for that is well into the future. It's not now. It seems too soon. It seems too early. You know, 4 months after this all starts to come out about what kind of program Maryland had, that Nick Saban is going to bring him in as some sort of contributor to a national championship run, whether it's just watching film and consulting, whatever it is, I just think it's too soon. I think it's inappropriate. I think it's the kind of thing Alabama doesn't really need to do. And to let DJ Durkin sort of clean up or rehabilitate his image under the guise of Nick Saban and the dominance in the program that he's built at Alabama just feels wrong to me. And I just don't think it's the kind of thing you need to spend your capital on. But, you know, Saban is he runs the University of Alabama, so he can do whatever he wants, and there's going to be a million Alabama fans who back him up and don't care. But I think, you know, every other coach in America would get killed for this, and Nick Saban should too.
That is Dan Wolkin, USA Today. You can read him, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wolkin. Thanks for being here. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thanks. See you.
All right. Dan Wolkin, USA Today. Remember I told you we got two tickets to tonight's Heat-Grizzlies game, lower-level tickets. We multiplied it. It's actually four. So we got two sets of two. Be the fourth caller and the fifth caller right now, and you can have them. 535-3776. I'll tell you about Joe Kim Noah's interesting quotes when we get back.
Edwin Watzkoff presents a special holiday offer from Titleist. The Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the number one ball in golf used by tour players and amateurs around the world. And right now, they're only $39.99 a dozen, making them the number one gift in golf. And now available, the new TS Metal Woods. Two distinct designs that bring more speed to your game. TS2 lets you swing aggressive with maximum forgiveness across the face, while TS3 offers an adjustable sweet spot for speed-tuned performance. This holiday season, shop Edwin Watzkoff, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Guarantee.
Ho, ho, ho. What do you want for Christmas?
I want to find a place that I can buy all my friends' presents in one spot.
You don't need Santa for that. Just go to Doc's.
Did you know there's a place in the 901 where you can get wine and whiskey, candies and caramels and glasses and gift sets all under one roof? It's true. And this is Gary Parrish promising you that you're going to find all that and more at Doc's Wine Spirits and More at the corner of Poplar and Kirby next to Swanky's in the Carrefour Shopping Center. You're going to find beer, bourbon balls, and Bailey's alongside a huge selection of wine and liquor all at great prices. And speaking of great prices, how about my favorite bottle, Big Bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka? Just $17.98 every day. And don't forget, Doc's Rare Whiskey Release is coming up on December 16th, where more than 100 bottles of allocated bourbon is going to be up for sale. First come, first serve. Find out more at DocsMemphis.com. That's DocsMemphis.com. Again, it's Docs Wine, Spirits, and More on the web, DocsMemphis.com.
See you later, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho. And just where do you think you're going?
We're going to Docs.
Okay, bring me back an eggnog.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. Suddenly, these husbands and dads are thrust onto battlefields where the fate of everything they care about will be decided. In the meantime, they must await the outcome in someone else's home this holiday season. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend. Chances are I've described someone that you count among your friends. Be sure to remember him this season.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
I'm a real person. Real voice and a real face, even though you can't see it because, you know, radio invisibility. You know what else is super duper real? Geico local offices. A Geico local agent could tailor fit a policy to you, which could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All because Geico local agents keep it real, with real savings and real service. Really?
And there's more. A Geico local agent could help you with more than just auto policies, like motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. Stop by or give them a call today.
Washing my nose, oh yeah.
I'm a shower curtain, and I do one thing. Keep water from leaking everywhere. So you see why I feel useless compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, not only could Geico save you money, but they've been around for over 75 years. And they give you 24/7 access online, over the phone, or on the Geico app. And they've got a 97% customer satisfaction rating. They do all this while I have to listen to this chucklehead. Oh, good, he stopped.
Washing my toes!
Oh, great, an encore.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
If you are a business looking to streamline your printing process and save a ton of money at the same time, call Michael and his team at Cartridge World Memphis. They will set a time for a complimentary evaluation, answer any questions you may have, and save you money. That means you don't have to reduce staff this year and may just help pay for a relaxing vacation. All their ink and toner are guaranteed 100%. Come by 4714 Poplar Avenue in the Knickerbocker Shopping Plaza down from FedEx or call 901-767-4065. That's 767-4065.
Dell's dedicated small business advisors give you tech advice and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. And now's the time to save on select business PCs with 8th-gen Intel Core processors until the end of the year. Maximize this year's budget and find the right tech solution for your business. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Good as your cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it, made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole, I said I'm lost. She said I'm going too fast.
Sleepy Aziz Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zen is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. They got prices 50% to 80% off retail stores, so they don't have to have sales. They're already murdering the competition 52 weeks a year. They got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And when readers of the commercial appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, the winner four straight years, Sleepy Z's. They don't just sell mattresses, though. Also furniture, living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Anything you need to furnish your home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if it's not on the floor, relax. Don't freak out. They got a 42-inch kiosk there, filled with furniture. You can browse through it, find what you want. They'll get it for you. And remember to mention you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show to save an additional 10%. You're doing that at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zanner. Located 2790 Kirby Whitten and Bartlett. It's at the corner of Summer Avenue next door to Hollywood Feed. That number, 692-6200. Call them. Tell them you need a Christmas present for your significant other. And what you want to give them for the holiday this year is a terrific mattress that will ensure great nights of sleep going forward, not only for them, but also for you. They're on the web, sleepyzzz.com, sleepyzzz.com. Jeff Clark is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. Shouts to Corey White and Ernest Parker for winning tickets to tonight's Grizzlies-Miami Heat game. Tipping off at 7 o'clock. They're going to be in the arena, but if you're not, you can listen to it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeff Calkins will be here at 5, like I said. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So the signing of Joakim Noah has been terrific. A, because he's a useful player in the rotation. But B, he's already developed into the best interview on the team. And I don't even think it's close. No. Whether it was his stuff with NBA TV after his first game with the Grizzlies or the back and forth he had with the local media in the locker room. He has just been terrific. Thoughtful on basically any subject and candid and honest, perhaps to a fault, because he was in studio with my buddy Chris Vernon yesterday, Grind City Media, and they started talking about, you know, what went wrong in New York, because it quite clearly went wrong in New York. Yeah. He signs this big deal to go home and play for the Knicks, and
you know, doesn't even make it the length of the contract. They end up telling him to just get away from the team. Just get away from the team, and then they're going to stretch his contract. The thing that some have suggested the Grizzlies might ought to someday do with Chandler Parsons for different reasons.
Yes.
Is what the
probably
Knicks
should,
is,
but
I mean, I don't know, but I'll let them make that decision. But they actually, but the Knicks did it with Jokic Noah.
Yeah.
So Vernon's got him in studio, and he's like, "No, so what went wrong?"
Yeah.
And Joakim says, "I don't think it was one thing. I think it was a lot of things. I'm not here to blame anybody or it's anybody's fault. It just didn't work out. I could look back on it and say I thought I was ready for New York City, but I wasn't, and it's something that I've got to live with." And so Vernon interprets that as, like, you weren't ready, like, for the pressure. And he says, not just the pressure. This is Joakim talking again. Mm-hmm. I remember after the first game, I probably had, like, 60 people in my house. I'm too lit to play in New York City. Memphis is perfect for me. And Vernon then asked him about being in Chicago.
Yeah.
He says, oh, we were lit in Chicago, but I was young. So you recover faster, you know? You recover faster when you're young, which, by the way,
I can relate to all this.
100% true. Yeah. I went on CBS Sports HQ this morning, and I looked like I had been out all night long. Really, all I did last night was...
stayed up for a basketball game, right?
I hung out with my children.
Okay.
I watched our king and savior, LeBron James, play, and I watched a football game, had a couple drinks...
Yep.
And that's it.
You were wiped out.
That's all I did. I woke up this morning. I looked like I'd been at a party all night. I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not even playing basketball. You weren't in the game.
So imagine if I had to wake up this morning and play basketball.
Right.
I wasn't even lit last
night. No, you weren't lit.
I was just like hanging out at my house, and yet this morning I felt like hell.
Memphis can be lit, though, and sometimes, though, Joakim.
No, well, here's the thing. Here's what people mean by that. Memphis is... there's not a whole lot to do here for a young NBA player as it relates to things that NBA players get into.
So
typically,
this might be a positive then.
I've talked to Chandler about this. Yeah. There's not a place to go.
Right.
You know, if you're in New York City, there is a 5-star nightclub popping every night of the week.
Yes.
If you're in LA, there's a 5-star nightclub popping every night of the week. Mm-hmm. If you're in Miami, if you're in Atlanta, if you're in a lot of these cities. But Memphis ain't one of them.
No.
I told you I talked to my buddies who are former NBA players who work with me at CBS Sports Network. And every time we get into a conversation about Memphis, they're like, Memphis is when you got caught up on Netflix. You know, when you check into the Westin downtown, and that's when when you get caught up on Netflix. Right. You really go and focus on your film. Like, you know, Memphis is the one where you don't really get out so much.
Okay.
And so when Joe says Memphis is perfect for me, what he means, I think, is that there ain't a whole lot of things for me to get into.
Good.
You know, like I'm really just going to be focused on basketball. And if you're focused on basketball and not getting into things, then your body probably holds up a little better as well. I thought it was a good quote. Like, it was his acknowledgement that he didn't approach being a $70 million basketball player in New York the way he should have. So much so that, again, the team sent him away. And then the team also instructed, reportedly, their young players, stay away from him.
Oh, man, that's really bad.
They don't want you, hey, Porzingis, do not go out with Noah.
Hanging with him.
We don't want him dragging you around this city the way he's dragging himself around this city.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joakim Noah could have said a whole lot of different things to the question, what went wrong in New York? I mean, he could have just went, it's a dysfunctional franchise from the top down.
Yeah.
The owner, it creates a dysfunctional working place.
Mm-hmm.
The coach, who's not even there anymore, and I didn't see eye to eye on anything.
He and Hornacek got into it.
I come from a place where winning is the most important thing, which is why I'm happy to be here in Memphis, because it's nice to be a part of a franchise that is dedicated to winning no matter what. And, you know, my mindset in New York just didn't mesh with New York's mindset, and it went bad. Hmm. Like, you could have said, and I'm not sure that some of that's not true.
Right.
But instead, he said, it's on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was ready to play in New York City, but I clearly wasn't. I was too lit for New York City. And so there's a lot of Knicks fans who are like, yo, dude, we paid you $70 million and you couldn't, you were too lit to play in New York City. F you.
Yeah.
But, and to be clear, I get that.
Yeah.
You pay somebody $70 million, you want them to take their job as seriously as they can possibly take it. Mm-hmm. And by Joe's own admission, he didn't. But at least he acknowledges it.
Listen, this happens to adults who don't play in the NBA who move to New York City. Like, because that town can get you, man. There is open 24/7. It's a party, man. It is easy to get into stuff.
As somebody who spends a significant portion of every year in New York City, if you let that city, if you want to let that city eat you up,
it'll get you.
It can. Oof. There is never not something to do.
No.
There's no such thing as a slow night.
No.
I mean, you can make it a slow night. Hey, I'm going to order Uber Eats and just kick it here at the hotel.
Yeah.
You can make it a slow night, but there's no such thing as a slow night in New York City. It's popping every night of the week. Yeah. And so, I can see how that could eat you up. And that's really more than anything what Joakim was acknowledging. Huh. He didn't use this word, but perhaps this is what he meant. I wasn't mature enough in my approach to be able to handle being a basketball player in New York City. And I would rather hear somebody acknowledge that honestly and admit that it was a mistake rather than talk around that. I don't, maybe if I were a Knicks fan, I'd be upset. But just from a basketball perspective, I like seeing players acknowledge when maybe they didn't handle a certain situation the way they should have. And that's more or less what Joe was saying.
Story number two.
So Chris Douglas Roberts, currently known as Supreme Bay for reasons I'll never be able to understand.
Wave God.
It was on with Jason and John earlier today, and he said that the University of Memphis has invited him back to have his jersey retired. And he's declined the opportunity so far because he feels like if his jersey is going to be retired, then his teammates' jersey should also be retired. And so to that, I would just say, sweet gesture. But Donnell Mack doesn't need to have his jersey retired so that you can have your jersey retired. And I know he's probably not talking about Donnell Mack. He's probably talking about Antonio Anderson and Joey Dorsey and Derrick Rose and Robert Dozier. But the truth is, with the possible exception, I think, of Antonio Anderson, none of those other guys should have their jerseys retired at the University of Memphis. But Chris Douglas Roberts, 100% should.
Yep.
He was a first-team All-American. First-team All-American. Mm. Do you know how many first-team All-Americans that University of Memphis has had?
I don't.
Okay, well, first, they've retired 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 jerseys the University of Memphis has.
Okay.
It's Forrest Arnold, Win Wilfong, John Gunn, Larry Finch, Ronnie Robinson, Larry Keenan, Keith Lee, Elliot Perry, Penny Hardaway. I got no issue with any of that.
Nope.
But do you know how many first-team All-Americans they've actually had?
No.
Three ever.
Out of those, who were they?
Keith Lee.
Yep.
Penny Hardaway. And Chris Douglas Roberts.
CDR.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the list of first-team All-Americans at Memphis is actually way shorter than the list of retired numbers at the University of Memphis. And so, just based on that alone, it is completely reasonable and right to retire CDR's jersey someday. And so hopefully he'll come around on that because it's an honor he deserves, an honor he earned, and an honor that I think the university would like to bestow upon him.
Story number three.
Weird deal in Chicago. The Bulls last night didn't play Jabari Parker in the second half of the game at all. He only played 4 minutes in the first half, and the subsequent reporting suggests that he's not going to be a part of their rotation going forward. Just not going to play. He signed a $40 million contract with the Bulls.
What?
Like this past summer.
Crazy.
2 years, $40 million. They're paying him $20 million this year.
I didn't like that contract when they did it, though.
To sit on the bench.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so I don't know if you saw this, but there was, I guess, a local show, maybe pregame, postgame, something to do with the Bulls. But Horace Grant, Bulls legend, he works on the show the same way Brevin Knight works on the Grizzly show, right?
Yeah.
And so they are telling this in real time to him. And his facial expressions are like, what the? Like, Jabari,
WTF.
Jabari Parker is not going to be in the rotation? And so this is the decision Jim Boland's made. But it is just
that whole thing's dysfunctional.
Talking about dysfunctional franchises, like the Knicks, the Bulls might be taking it right now. Because think about just the past few years. Think about just the past few years.
Yeah.
Okay. They go out and hire Fred Hoiberg.
Yep.
And they decide we want to be winners now. They got Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. They go out and bring Dwayne Wade home.
Yep.
We're going veteran heavy. We're trying to win right now. Then, like, middle of the way through that first season, they decide, okay, this isn't working. We're just going to tear it down, get young.
Yeah.
So they move Wade.
Got LaVine.
They end up ultimately moving Butler.
Yeah.
They're just going to go young because they go, maybe Fred Hoiberg is better equipped to coach a young team, like a college basketball team. So we're going to get Fred Hoiberg a bunch of young guys, and we're just going to start the rebuild. Then they fire Fred Hoiberg.
Right.
And then they commit to Jabari Parker.
Right.
And then, like, it's December.
Right.
Of Jabari Parker's first year.
Well, and isn't Bolin's not an interim coach? Like, they made him the coach.
And now they bitched Jabari Parker on a $40 million contract.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm not even saying that it's wrong to do so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's wrong to commit $40 million to somebody and then not have them a part of your rotation in the middle of December in the first year of that contract. Like, you messed up one of two places. Either you messed up by benching him or you messed up by signing him to the contract. Probably messed up by signing him to the contract, but you can't do both those things. You cannot commit $40 million to Jabari Parker, and by December of the first year of that contract,